Forbes Avenue is a production of WRCT Pittsburgh. The opinions expressed are those of the participants and not necessarily those of WRCT, its members, or Carnegie Mellon University. Email questions or comments to pa@wrct.org.
Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in this show are solely those of individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of WRCT Pittsburgh and its members.
From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The sun may have set over our city this evening, but as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity.
In this Democracy Now! Special, we look at the rise of New York Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani, the Democratic socialist who's set to become New York's first Muslim and first South Asian mayor after pulling off what Senator Bernie Sanders called one of the great political upsets in modern American history. We'll spend the hour hearing Mamdani in his own words and look at the grassroots coalition that helped propel him to victory.
So hear me, President Trump, when I say this, to get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us.
All that and more coming up. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In this Democracy Now! Special, we look at the rise of New York Mayor-elect Zohran Mamdani. On November 4th, he made history by winning the race to become the next mayor of New York City. The Democratic Socialist is the first Muslim and first person of South Asian descent elected to lead the largest city in the United States. At 34 years old, he's also the youngest person elected to the office in over a century. His meteoric rise from a little-known state assembly member to his stunning upset over former Governor Andrew Cuomo has sent shockwaves through the Democratic Party. Today, we spend the hour hearing Zohran Mamdani in his own words and look at the grassroots campaign behind him. Mamdani was born in Uganda and moved to New York as a child. His parents are the acclaimed filmmaker Mira Nair and Columbia University professor Mahmoud Mamdani. In 2020, Zohran Mamdani won a seat in the New York Assembly, representing Astoria, Queens. In October 2021, Mamdani appeared on Democracy Now! For the first time while taking part in a 15-day hunger strike to demand debt relief for New York taxi drivers.
I'm participating in solidarity with the Taxi Worker Alliance and to try and bring to light what the consequences are of the city's inaction for many years, and now they're a completely insufficient plan for debt relief. Because, you know, we started this hunger strike last Wednesday. We've now completed 7 full days of being without food, one of the most basic elements of dignity. And the consequences we've seen in our own bodies, you know, an inability to sleep, unrelenting hunger, moments of blurred vision, stress, headaches, these are the same consequences that I heard drivers talk about when they say what the physical realities are of being hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, unable to take care of your family and seeing no way out. So it's important for us as legislators to bring to light what it is that people are suffering from out of view of those in the political elite and bring it right front and center in front of City Hall.
In 2022, New York Assembly member Zohran Mamdani came back on Democracy Now! After the Republican Party won control of the House of Representatives, in part because Republicans flipped 4 seats in New York.
You can only get so far presenting a negative version of the Republican vision. We can only get so far telling people that vote to defeat Lee Zeldin. We need to have an affirmative vision. The Working Families Party has laid out what that vision could look like, and now the Democratic Party needs to do so as well. And when I think about that, I think particularly about 2 issues, housing and the climate crisis. Right, more than 75% of New Yorkers across the state are concerned about rising rents, and more than 67% believe that we need to pass good cause eviction as a means by which to keep those rents under control.
In October 2023, I spoke to Zoran Mamdani when he took part in a historic protest when the group Jewish Voice for Peace and their allies shut down the main terminal of Grand Central Station during rush hour to demand a ceasefire in Gaza.
My name is Zoran Mamdani. I'm an assembly member for parts of Astoria in Long Island City, and I'm here today to join thousands of Jewish New Yorkers, rabbis, and allies to say that the time is now for an immediate ceasefire.
What does it mean to you that on this Shabbos, this Jewish Sabbath, thousands of Jews are here at Grand Central saying ceasefire now?
It shows that what we have been told about the consent for this genocide is not true. So many of the Jewish New Yorkers here are struggling through heartbreak and mourning of October 7th, and they have made it very clear that do not use their heartbreak, their tragedy, as a justification for the genocide of Palestinians. In over 2.5 weeks, we've already seen more than 7,000 Palestinians be killed, close to 3,000 Palestinian children, one Palestinian child killed every 15 minutes. These New Yorkers and so many across the state are saying the time is now for a ceasefire, and if you're not calling for it, you're supporting a genocide.
Last October, Mamdani joined Democracy Now! As he launched his mayoral campaign and laid out the platform he's now known for.
We are going to freeze the rent for every single rent-stabilized tenant for every single year of the mayoralty. We are going to make buses free and fast across this entire city. And we are going to enact universal child care at no cost for all New Yorkers for children from the ages of 6 weeks to 5 years. These are the policies that will set us apart, and these are the policies that resonate with New Yorkers' concerns.
And if you could talk some more about your stance on the war in Gaza, which clearly, or in the Palestinian territories, which clearly is not normally a plank of a candidate for mayor in New York City, but certainly will affect how people vote.
You know, I think there's tremendous anger and alienation across New York City today, whether it's these corruption crises or the cost of living or the fact that our tax dollars are continuing to fund a genocide across Palestine. And what voters are looking for is someone who can speak clearly to that crisis of confidence and of faith in the power of government to be a positive force in people's lives and to offer them a vision that is worth believing in. And that is what I am going to do in this campaign, is to put forward an economic agenda that puts working class New Yorkers first, all while recognizing the world as it actually is, which is one where there is a hierarchy of human life that the United States government is following that states that it is fine for Palestinians and Lebanese and Syrians and Yemenis to be killed, because that is simply the worth that they have in the eyes of our federal government.
Over the next 12 months, Mamdani would rise in the polls from last place to first, shocking the political establishment by building a historic grassroots coalition. In June, he defeated disgraced former Governor Andrew Cuomo in New York City's Democratic mayoral primary.
In the words of Nelson Mandela, it always seems impossible until it is done. My friends, we have done it. I will be your Democratic nominee for the mayor of New York City.
Zoran Mamdani came back on Democracy Now! In September, hours after New York Mayor Eric Adams ended his reelection campaign. Mamdani talked about his plans to Trump-proof New York City following the president's threat to cut off federal funds to New York if Mamdani won the general election.
You know, I think it is a sad reality in this country where we have a president who ran an entire campaign premised on cheaper groceries and lowering the cost of living. And what he has instead delivered time and again is an exacerbating of that very crisis, all while focusing on the persecution of his supposed political enemies. And when we talk about Trump-proofing the city, it's not just the question of hiring the 200 additional lawyers at our law department to bring us back to the staffing levels prior to the pandemic. It's a question of actually actually standing up and fighting Donald Trump. And fighting Donald Trump because what his agenda is doing is endangering the welfare of New Yorkers. This bill that he recently ushered through Washington, D.C., it throws millions of New Yorkers off of their health care. It steals SNAP benefits from so many hungry New Yorkers. And it does all of this in the interests of the largest wealth transfer that we've seen in this country. And to do those things while speaking about a cost of living crisis, it is truly a betrayal of so much of what his campaign was premised on, and an illustration of why he is so fearful of our campaign. Because unlike him, we don't just diagnose this crisis, we will deliver on it. We will actually ensure that we have New Yorkers who can afford the city that they call home, that we freeze the rent for more than 2 million New Yorkers, we make buses fast and free, which are currently the slowest ones in the nation, and we deliver universal child care. And that's what Donald Trump is afraid of, the stark contrast between our delivery of those things and what he has done as the president of this country. New Yorkers are facing twin crises, authoritarianism from Washington, D.C., and affordability crisis from the inside. And we often tend to separate these out. We think about democracy as an ideal that must be protected, but not that democracy also has to be able to deliver on the material needs of working people. And it was Fiorella LaGuardia that said, you cannot preach liberty to a starving land. You have to be able to deliver on both fronts.
Zoran Mamdani on Democracy Now! In September. Coming up, we look at how working-class South Asians help propel Mamdani to victory. Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In this holiday special, we're continuing to look at the rise of New York Mayor-elect Zoran Mamdani. Just prior to the November election, Democracy Now!'s Anjali Kamat filed this report looking at a crucial, often overlooked portion of Mamdani's base, working-class South Asians.
It's Friday afternoon in a quiet neighborhood in Kensington, Brooklyn. These women are members of Drumbeats, an advocacy group for low-income South Asian and Indo-Caribbean communities here in New York. And they're getting ready to canvass for Zoran Mamdani.
So half of the list is going to cover with them, then they will find them.
Black Panther. They split up into groups, and I followed them as they knocked on dozens of doors, armed with colorful flyers about the campaign in Bengali and Urdu and dozens of Zoran pins. They explained why they thought Mamdani was the best candidate and reminded neighbors about early voting times and locations.
So November 4th is the final vote. Assalamu alaikum.
Their enthusiasm was infectious, often bursting into Bengali chants of my mayor, your mayor. And for the most part, it seemed to work. I spoke to Fahad Ahmed, who runs Drumbeats, which stands for Desis, or South Asians, Rising Up and Moving. Their organization was among the very first to endorse Zoran's run for mayor last year.
Many people will say that, oh, well, it's a South Asian descended candidate, and so it must be an identity thing. But we've had several South Asian or Indo-Caribbean candidates, but none of them elicit this response. And I think the fact that the campaign spoke to the very material issues of working class people, as first and foremost, has really made a very significant difference.
I also spoke to Jagpreet Singh, Drumbeat's political director, who's in charge of endorsing political candidates and getting the vote out.
When Zoran had come to us to begin with, he said his base, the base he was looking at, were three planks. Number one was the leftist progressives. His second plank was rent-stabilized tents. And the third was Muslim and South Asian communities, communities that have not been previously galvanized, have not been previously activated, usually have some of the lowest voter turnout rates. So from the get-go, our communities were going to be a big part of his base.
Qazi Fawzia moved to New York City from Bangladesh in 2008. Now she's Drum's organizing director. The tireless campaigning by women like her was crucial to Zoran's victory in the primaries. In some neighborhoods, voter turnout among South Asian and Indo-Caribbean communities doubled.
Just 24/7, they are thinking how to win. Some of them work in the cafeteria and the school. Some of them also work in the retail store. Some of them are home health worker, take care of the patient. One of my leader actually restaurant ship. They are not only just volunteer. They built actually movement.
After a long evening of canvassing, they're back at the office only to get ready for more of the same. The next day and every day after until the elections.
These all tired people come together and creating movement to show the world how political campaign supposed to be look like.
6-7 million voters. In June, we won the primary because of historic numbers of new voters that turned out. We changed the electorate.
Earlier this month, Zoran Mamdani addressed an excited crowd of supporters at a Bangladeshi restaurant in Jackson Heights, Queens.
Zoran Mamdani! What we did in the primary is we increased the turnout of Muslims by 60%, the turnout of South Asians by 40%, and when I stood in front of the world and gave a speech that night, I made sure to remember the Bangladeshi aunties that knocked on the doors across this city. And people have asked me, what will it mean to have a Muslim mayor? What my grandmother Kulsum taught me, that to be a good Muslim is to be a good person. It is to help those in need and to harm no one. The truth of this campaign, it is a truth that believes in each one of the people in this room and their possibility. It is the truth that looks at the youngest among us and sees that they could be anything in this city. Anything they want.
At the Jackson Heights Farmers Market that weekend, the high school students who met Mamdani at the restaurant were still thinking about his words.
If I could run for mayor, I think I would have a lot of great ideas. Just like Zoran, making New York City affordable. I want to be able to live here without any worry about paying rent. I know I'm just 17, but I want to be able to move out next year and experience living in the city, because I know even for my family it's really hard to pay the rent. So yeah.
Mohini Mehbooba is one of the youth members of Drumbeats. A talented artist, Mohini was giving people henna tattoos that spelled Zoran.
We work so hard, phone banking, canvassing, and I love doing it, and I'm going to do some more today, hopefully. And it's just a really good feeling to do something that will be able to change for us as well.
Thank you so much.
At the Drumbeats office in Jackson Heights, there's a different group of people phone banking every afternoon. They're reaching out to communities in a variety of South Asian languages, with volunteers making calls in Nepali, Urdu, and Bengali. A group of high school students are also making calls, in between joking around.
Hey, my name is Sammy, and I am a high school volunteer for the Zoran Mamdani's campaign. Have you ever heard about Zoran Mamdani? Are you planning to vote for him on the election day, November 4th?
High school student Miftahun Mahona explains why she's passionate about campaigning for Zoran Mamdani.
Even though I'm not at the age to vote, not yet, I still care about, like,
people above 18, they like for them to vote for Zoran, because the thing is, if they vote for the right person, that also benefits me, because I live in a world where it's very corrupt, and every action that the people over 18 taking, like voting, their action means a lot to me as well, because I come from a working class family. We don't have many benefits. We don't have much resources.
Across working class South Asian communities in the city, there's a deep belief that Zoran Mamdani will stand up for them if he becomes mayor. A big reason for that is his role in the taxi workers' protest against medallion debt back in 2021. When the drivers decided to go on a hunger strike, Assemblyman Mamdani joined them for the full 15 days. Kazi Fauzia remembers how moved the community was.
I saw how long he's doing the hunger strike, and he almost dying that time. So I feel this call actually real solidarity. Solidarity not just come and talk and leave. Solidarity also, he put his body frontline.
Drum, or Desi's Rising Up and Moving, was founded in Jackson Heights, Queens in 2000 as a membership organization of low-wage South Asian and Indo-Caribbean workers and youth. For most of its history, their membership has faced the brunt of domestic repression and hate crimes that followed the September 11th attacks. Kazi Fauzia found herself the target of NYPD surveillance when she started organizing in immigrant Muslim communities.
I came 2008 this country, and I used to work in retail store in Jackson Heights, and I that time I'm doing volunteering, organizing with the drum, and one day I found informer behind me.
A few years later, as hate crimes against South Asian immigrants spiked again, many people suggested she stop wearing her hijab.
People asked me 2013, you should take off your hijab because it's not safe anymore. We saw how much isolation and fear community had after 9/11.
Jagpreet Singh remembers his Sikh family members cutting their hair and beards and wearing American flag t-shirts to stay safe after 9/11.
This is a reality we lived with for a long time, that we had to hide ourselves, that we had to retreat back, that we had to fight for everything that we wanted. And we're in this reality now, where Zoran Mamdani is about to become mayor of our city, a very outward Muslim man, South Asian, who is very much into his identity, who does not hide his identity.
From the shadows of post 9/11 repression and fear, the Mamdani campaign has given this community a new sense of political confidence and purpose.
So if you see now, our member, our community member, our religious lead, our neighbors, all now talking for Zoran. If they go back to the 9/11 era and they try to talk about Islamophobic, xenophobic thing, it's not going to sell. It's not going to sell. It's over. People are not going to go back the isolating zone anymore. If they try to implementing this, they will push back.
If Zoran Mamdani wins the mayoral election, Drumbeats, like other progressive groups that backed Mamdani from the start, could find themselves in a brand new role, collaborating with the administration to govern the city. It's been a long journey, from advocating for those on the margins to potentially having a seat at the table. Here's Jagpreet Singh again.
Talks about what the administration would look like are still a little premature, but the campaign and the administration has been very willing to work with organizations like ours at Drumbeats. It feels amazing to see that we now get to take up leadership, that we get to not only have a seat at the table, but run how our city runs. It's not just going to happen by him being in office, no matter how charismatic he is.
Kazi Fauzia says that if Mamdani wins the race, but is unable to keep his campaign promises down the road, their members will not hesitate to push his administration and hold their feet to the fire.
Zoran make impossible possible in his grassroots movement to in the mayoral campaign. So Zoran had to keep his promises and fulfill his commitment, and we will be support all the time him. And also, if he don't fulfill or keep his promises, we'll hold him accountable.
In the event of a Mamdani victory, his administration will not face an easy path. People like Fahad Ahmed are already preparing for how to confront the many challenges and threats that may come, whether from the Trump administration or Wall Street and real estate interests.
On our side, there will be real challenges of trying to run a city as a left when we don't have extensive experience of doing that. But how it is that we govern, tending to the actual material needs that come up in day-to-day administration of the city, while having a vision that is transformative, that does believe that cities and society can be shaped differently and can function in ways that actually meet the needs of everyday working people.
But for now, the South Asian and Indo-Caribbean communities that have been pounding the pavement for Mamdani couldn't be more excited for a potential Zoran Mamdani victory and their new role in the spotlight.
We choose the future because for all those who say our time is coming, my friends, our time is now.
For Democracy Now!, this is Anjali Kamath with Nicole Salazar. Thanks to Rehan Ansari.
So that was looking at some of the organizing leading to Zoran Mamdani's victory. Coming up, we hear Zoran Mamdani in his own words after he won the New York mayoral race in what Senator Bernie Sanders called one of the great political upsets in modern American history. Stay with us.
I landed here from Punjab. Kuli pankarda jagsanu.
Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. In this holiday special, we're continuing to look at the rise of Zoran Mamdani. On election night, Democracy Now! Was at Mamdani's victory party at the historic Brooklyn Paramount, where more than 1,000 people packed in. We spoke to some of his supporters and organizers as the election results started coming in.
My name is Samaya Awad, and I'm a member of New York City DSA. Woo, woo, woo! And I am, to say I'm excited and ecstatic and relieved is an understatement. I mean, we have fought so hard for this right before the primary, and then now in the last couple of months and last couple of weeks, and today. Of exhausted, because it's exhaustion from something I believe in with every fiber of my body, and that I know that the majority of New Yorkers believe in, and we haven't felt that. I haven't felt that in my lifetime.
Tell us what it is you believe in.
It's a politician and an agenda that is truly for working class people, and one that doesn't put the platform and the mission at the expense of anyone. He has not left anyone out of what he is fighting for, and he's made it clear, whether you support him or not, he is fighting for us.
What'd you say?
NBC just called in for Zoran.
What do you think?
I'm so happy. I've been awake since 4:30 in the morning today, out canvassing in Park Slope and Prospect Heights, and we've been working towards this for a year, and I'm just so happy to win the New York
been canvassing since January, and it's so happy to see all of our work pay off.
It feels surreal that it's actually here and that it's happening. Yeah, it's so crazy.
What is it about Zoran Mamdani that led you to support him? And what is your name?
I'm Janie. He just has inspired hope, I feel like, across the city in a way that no one has in a long time. A lot of us didn't want to vote for a Democrat who we felt like we had to, you know, choose over another person.
What group are you with?
I'm an organizer with Jewish Voice for Peace. We've worked really hard for this moment. I'm so excited to celebrate with everybody.
Did you think you'd see this day?
I was confident. Yeah.
What do you say about Donald Trump saying today that any Jew who votes for Zoran Mamdani is stupid?
It's anti-Semitic nonsense. It's bigotry, plain and simple. We're sick of anti-Semitism being weaponized against Palestinian people and against our own communities as well.
What do you want to see Zoran Mamdani do as mayor?
Make New York City a city for everybody, a city we can afford, a city where people can lead dignified lives.
My name is Runa Hajar. I don't know what to say. I mean, it's been a very hard few years with the genocide, and this is the first good news that we've had. It feels like truly, truly good news, something to really look forward to and celebrate.
What about local issues here in New York? What most appeals to you about Mamdani?
Well, I mean, I think that, so I'm a social worker by training, and I think that criminalizing mental health issues is very, very significant, and I think will change how we think of safety and security in New York City, which is something that I know is on the minds of a lot of people.
My name is Jagpreet Singh. I'm the political director at Drum Beats, and I feel amazing. I feel ecstatic. I'm on top of the world. It's going to be a couple of days until I come back down.
Hi, my name is Nabila. I'm the youth organizer at Drum Beats.
It's well known that to vote.
Yeah.
What's your response to that?
I think this just goes to show when we have a candidate that actually cares about the popular issues that affect everyone, and someone who's charismatic and who doesn't talk down to you, you finally have a youth that's ready to show the energy they've always had. It's just that they've been marginalized all this time.
Hi, my name is Keanu Arpels Josiah. I'm with Sunrise Movement in New York City. I'm joyful. This is the beginning of a new future for New York City, a future where we have a politics that works for our generation, for affordability, fights the climate crisis, fights the billionaire class taking over our government, stands up to fascism, and stands up for our issues. This is a moment where all of politics is changing. New York City is changing. New York City is standing up and demanding a different future for our world, for our country, and for our city. I couldn't be more excited.
How will it change what you do?
It means the same for us in some ways, and it means everything is different in other ways. It means collaboration. It means a politics of working with those in office to deliver the agenda, but it also means a politics of accountability. We need to be with Zoran celebrating today, and we need to be talking with him tomorrow to make his agenda a reality. We need to be standing alongside. We can't just be yelling at each other, but we have to have collaboration and accountability. And And it means we need to fight Governor Hochul, who's trying to build fossil fuel pipelines through New York City that Mamdani opposes. We need to fight to tax the rich, and we need to fight Washington as it attacks our community.
My name's Simone Zimmerman. I'm part of the Jews for Zohran campaign. I'm on a board member of Jews for Racial and Economic Justice Action. And I'm over the moon. I don't know. This is it. Trump called the Jews who voted for Zohran stupid. But look, we're in a moment right now where we have an administration that is using racism and fear and is sowing terror in cities around the country. And Jews are not different from many other Americans. We see the hatred and the racism that they're spreading, and we're terrified of it. And despite the fact that millions of dollars were poured into this race to scare the living daylights out of Jewish voters, I think we're going to see so many people see in Zohran a vision of safety and belonging in this city that they want to be part of, despite the fact that over and over again they were told, you don't belong, you don't belong. Zohran worked so hard to go to synagogue, to reach out to Jewish communities across the city, Jewish communities of such ideological and religious diversity, and say, you belong here. And I think people believe him. And I think that tonight we're seeing that.
My name is Fahad Ahmed, and I'm the director of Drumbeats. This campaign was successful because it had a movement behind it, and it was successful because it spoke to the material needs of people.
This is a very strong message to the entire country. It's not only Republicans who will organize against Mayor Mamdani. It's the Democratic Party as well. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. You know, in our work, we talk about that it is the policies of the centrists, whether they're Democrats or some of the old Republicans, that created the conditions that caused the rise of the right. When people's needs aren't being met, they need an alternative. And so far, only the far right was providing an alternative in the form of authoritarianism, in the form of fascism, in the form of hate, turning against immigrants, against queer people, against Muslims. And what this campaign and our movement was able to do was offer a left alternative.
I'm James Davis. I'm the president of the Professional Staff Congress, CUNY, the CUNY Faculty and Staff Union.
You were among the first unions to endorse Zohran Mamdani.
We were. I mean, we've known Zohran since his time in the assembly. So we knew that even though he was a long shot candidate, he would have tremendous message discipline. And in a time like now, when there's Trumpism from the federal government, we also knew that his message was going to resonate among working New Yorkers. We see what President Trump has done with the budget bill as a massive transfer of wealth to the already wealthiest. So part of our agenda is making sure that there's additional progressive taxation so that the public services, including the City University of New York, can be properly funded so we can have not just an affordable education, but a high-quality education that our students deserve.
Jasmine Gripper, co-director of the New York State Working Families Party. We are feeling proud of our success. We endorsed Zohran early, and tonight he got over 140,000 votes on the Working Families ballot line. He himself voted for himself on the Working Families ballot line. So we're ready to continue to build power to make his agenda a reality to help all New Yorkers.
Waleed Shaheed, I'm a political strategist. I'm South Asian, I'm Muslim. I think the campaign that Zohran started was based in the fact that so many Muslim Americans, South Asian Americans, Arab Americans felt left out of the Democratic Party because of the party's support of Benjamin Netanyahu's war crimes. And Zohran made an effort to include those people in the Democratic Party, in the Democratic primary process, in a way that so many politicians were unwilling to do. And I think you're seeing the results of that tonight, is that not only was it Muslims and South Asians and Arabs, but young Jews, young people of all backgrounds, wanted to see a candidate who had conviction and courage, whether it was about opposing war and genocide or standing up to the real estate lobby in this city, that they want a candidate who was consistent. And I think Zohran represents that in many ways, and is like represents the future of a lot of what American politics is going to look like.
I'm Shahana Hanif, New York City Council member representing the 39th District in Brooklyn, which includes Park Slope, Kensington, and I feel amazing.
So how will the city council operate differently now with Mayor Mamdani?
Look, we'll have a partner. We will have a partner who shares similar values and a progressive agenda that has not been supported by Mayor Adams. You know,
name is Khalid Latif. I'm the director of the Islamic Center of New York City.
So here you are. Zoran Mamdani is about to take the stage. He has won the race for mayor. He will be the first Muslim mayor. Did you ever think you'd see this day?
Yeah, you know, it's so remarkable. I've known Zoran for years, and everything you see him to be and he presents himself as is who he actually is. Really sincere, deep conviction, a genuine love for people. And I think for us as Muslims in New York City, with so much of the rhetoric that we've seen over decades, but especially ramping up into this night, for him to come and win this so quickly, and so many people from so many walks of life being here behind him tonight, just as a testament to who it is he is, it's really remarkable.
Can you read that for me, what it says on the screen?
Zoran right now has over 50% of the votes, 972,000 votes in total, and it's just going to keep coming in. He's a remarkable young man, and New York is behind him right now.
Did you think this was possible?
You know, I think early on when he started, people probably didn't know what to expect. But as things started to go, I was there the night of the primary, and just the hope that was in the room and the sheer shock that people had that he won so quickly, I think everybody knew we were going to get to this place right now. And it's just the start of a lot of good things.
Some of the many supporters and organizers at Zoran Mamdani's victory party at the Brooklyn Paramount as they learned Mamdani had won the New York mayoral race, defeating former Governor Andrew Cuomo. At Mamdani's celebration, I also had a chance to speak briefly with Democratic Congressmember Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York.
The new mayor of New York City, the first Muslim mayor of New York, your thoughts?
I mean, Zoran Mamdani, of course, a historic candidate, a tremendous moment for the people of New York. We showed that we're not going to be bullied, we're not going to be intimidated, we're going to fight for working families, we're going to stand with immigrants, we're going to stand with the diversity of this city, and we're also going to make sure that first and foremost, that this is a city that working people will not be displaced out of.
What do you say to President Trump, who says he'll withhold billions of dollars from New York, make it impossible for Zoran Mamdani to govern?
Well, you know, I think that President Trump was born in New York City, and he knows that if you mess with New York, you mess with the whole country. And so, you know, I think this isn't a city that doesn't fight back.
I also spoke with the Canadian journalist, author, and activist, and professor, Naomi Klein.
Start off by saying your name and your feelings right now.
My name is Naomi Klein, and I'm levitating. This is such an incredible proof of concept of how to fight fascism. You know, Zoran, immediately after Trump's election, Trump voters, people who never voted for Trump before, black and brown people in working class neighborhoods, didn't vilify them, just listen to them. I talked to Zoran for the first time a week after Trump's election, and what he said to me was, everything is broken for people, like the elevator and their public housing hasn't been fixed for 10 months. Nothing is working, so it's so easy for someone like Trump to come along and be like, blame the immigrant, blame the unhoused person. And his entire campaign was about proving that if you actually meet people's real needs and raise the floor and say, okay, let's freeze the rent, let's have free and fast buses, let's have universal child care, let's address that sense of scarcity and insecurity at its root, that it can pull people back from the fascist abyss. And he won tonight. He proved that that message works. This ethnic, faith, cultural diversity of the city at a time when Republicans never stop pouring hate onto cities and make people afraid of each other, right?
And this is Zoran Mamdani on election night addressing supporters who packed into the Brooklyn Paramount. He began his speech by quoting the late labor leader and socialist Eugene Debs. But Mamdani was introduced by his own field director, Tasha Von Auken.
The bravery that you all have shown, that this field operation carried across all five boroughs, is going to transform our city. What all 100,400 of us have accomplished has rewritten the possibilities of mass democratic action. And it doesn't stop tonight. We all know that we won't stop at electing Zoran. We will continue to fight to bring the affordable of New York City to life. I am so excited to do that with all of you. And now I'm so honored to introduce the person you've been waiting to hear. We've worked for many years to bring about change in New York City that it so urgently needs. He's been a friend, and he is the next mayor of the greatest city on earth, Zoran Mamdani.
The sun may have set over our city this evening, but as Eugene Debs once said, I can see the dawn of a better day for humanity. For as long as we can remember, the working people of New York have been told by the wealthy and the well-connected that power does not belong in their hands. Fingers bruised from lifting boxes on the warehouse floor, palms calloused from delivery bike handlebars, knuckles scarred with kitchen burns. These are not hands that have been allowed to hold power. And yet over the last 12 months, you have dared to reach for something greater. Tonight, against all odds, we have grasped it. The future is in our hands. My friends, we have toppled a political dynasty. Andrew Cuomo, only the best in private life. But let tonight be the final time I utter his name as we turn the page on a politics that abandons the many and answers only to the few. New York, tonight you have delivered. For change. A mandate for a new kind of politics. A mandate for a city we can afford. And a mandate for a government that delivers exactly that. On January 1st, I will be sworn in as the mayor of New York City. So before I say anything else, I must say this. Thank you. Thank you to the next generation of New Yorkers who refuse to accept that the promise of a better future was a relic of the past. You showed that when politics speaks to you without condescension, we can usher in a new era of leadership. We will fight for you because we are you. Or as we say on Steinway, ana minkum wa ilaykum. Thank you to those so often forgotten by the politics of our city who made this movement their own. I speak of Yemeni bodega owners and Mexican abuelas, Senegalese taxi drivers and Uzbek nurses, Trinidadian line cooks and Ethiopian aunties. Yes, aunties. To every New Yorker in Kensington and Midwood and Hunts Point, know this. This city is your city, and this democracy is yours too. This campaign is about people like Wesley, an 1199 organizer I met outside of Elmhurst Hospital on Thursday night. A New Yorker who lives elsewhere, who commutes 2 hours each way from Pennsylvania because rent is too expensive in this city. It's about people like the woman I met on the BX33 years ago, who said to me, I used to love New York, but now it's just where I live. And it's about people like Richard, the taxi driver I went on a 15-day hunger strike with outside of City Hall, who still has to drive his cab 7 days a week. My brother, we are in City Hall now. Standing before you, I think of the words of Jawaharlal Nehru. A moment comes but rarely in history when we step out from the old to the new, when an age ends and when the soul of a nation long suppressed finds utterance. Tonight we have stepped out from the old into the new. So let us speak now with clarity and conviction that cannot be misunderstood about what this new age will deliver and for whom. This will be an age where New Yorkers expect from their leaders a bold vision of what we will achieve, rather than a list of excuses for what we are too timid to attempt. Central to that vision will be the most ambitious agenda to tackle the cost of living crisis that this city has seen since the days of Fiorella LaGuardia. An agenda that will freeze the rents for more than 2 million rent-stabilized tenants. Together, we will usher in a generation of change. And if we embrace this brave new course, rather than fleeing from it, we can respond to oligarchy and authoritarianism with the strength it fears, not the appeasement it craves. After all, if anyone can show a nation betrayed by Donald Trump how to defeat him, it is the city that gave rise to him. And if there is any way to terrify a despot, it is by dismantling the very conditions that allowed him to accumulate power. This is not only how we stop Trump, it's how we stop the next one. So Donald Trump, since I know you're watching, I have 4 words for you. Turn the volume up. We will hold bad landlords to account because the Donald Trump pimps of our city have grown far too comfortable taking advantage of their tenants. We will put an end to the culture of corruption that has allowed billionaires like Trump to evade taxation and exploit tax breaks. We will stand alongside unions and expand labor protections because we know, just as Donald Trump does, that when working people have ironclad rights, the bosses who seek to extort them become very small indeed. New York will remain a city of immigrants, a city built by immigrants, powered by immigrants. And as of tonight, led by an immigrant. So hear me, President Trump, when I say this. To get to any of us, you will have to get through all of us. When we enter City Hall in 58 days, expectations will be high. We will meet them. A great New Yorker once said that while you campaign in poetry, you govern in prose. If that must be true, let the prose we write still rhyme and let us build a shining city for all. And we must chart a new path, as bold as the one we have already traveled. After all, the conventional wisdom would tell you that I am far from the perfect candidate. I am young, despite my best efforts to grow older. I am Muslim. I am a democratic socialist. And most damning of all, I refuse to apologize for any of this.
Zoran Mamdani speaking at his victory party on November 4th after he won the New York City mayoral race, defeating former Governor Andrew Cuomo. After his speech, Mamdani was joined on stage by his wife, Rama Dwaji, and his parents, the filmmaker Mira Nair and Columbia University professor Mahmoud Mamdani. Zoran Mamdani will be sworn in on January 1st. And that does it for today's show. Democracy Now! Is produced with Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Dina Guzder, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Teresena, Nicole Salazar, Sarah Nasser, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Ravi Karan, Hani Massoud, and Safwat Nazal. Our executive director is Julie Crosby. Special thanks to Becca Staley, John Randolph, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Noguera, Hugh Grant, Carl Marxer, Dennis Moynihan, David Prude, Dennis McCormick, Matt Ely, Anna Ozbeck, Emily Anderson, Dante Turrieri, and Buffy St. Marie Hernandez. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You've got your radio tuned to WRCT Pittsburgh, broadcasting from the campus of Carnegie Mellon University at 88.3 FM and available on the internet at wrct.org. Pinckney Hall will start in just a couple of seconds.